Five, we say bonjour. Comment ça va, to Monsieur Jean-Jacques Cornish?
Bonjour, Ab. Ça va très bien. You're talking to a guy who has not eaten meat or fish, anything that had eyes or a mommy or a daddy for 50 years.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Monsieur, I mean, we want to find out from the listeners, though. I mean, does that mean then your whole family also had to assume this diet? How does it work?
Not at all. She who must be obeyed. Well, we weren't married yet, obviously, when this happened. But when we did eventually and we had offspring, she said, look, I'm prepared to do this, raise them a vegetarian, but I need some documentation and so on. I said, you must be crazy. I don't want to raise my children vegetarian. It's a decision they will make when they're adults. You know, I didn't want the prospect of having one of my sons or my daughter, you know, sneaking off to McDonald's and then coming back wrapped with guilt. You know, there's enough that they've got to have to try and hide from me. So I thought, well, you know, lay it on them. I mean, now, of course, I let them see Bambi more times than most parents would.
None of them
have turned out to be vegetarian, but, you know, and certainly not my wife. And but happily, she's not a wildly domesticated wife, so I'd probably do more cooking than she does. And when I cook, of course, I wouldn't use meat, but... I took my braai out the back, you know, built-in braai, and put a pizza oven in its place. So
you make the adjustments that are needed. Oh, good, fantastic, yeah. Monsieur. And that's funny, popping out to get McDonald's. Anyways, let's get down to business. It's all about Africa. Now, in some sad news, though, thousands of Cameroonians apparently have found refuge in Nigeria as the elections are literally tearing the country apart.
Yes, indeed. 60,000 are sheltering in Nigeria. 8,000 have gone there in the past fortnight. Now, the Nigerians have really come to the party. They've been accommodating these people and providing them services and food and health care. This is, of course, the English-speaking minority in the northwest and southwest of the country. There was a low turnout in those elections, and this counting is still occurring. You know, what we did hear afterwards was the elections passed, but there were gunshots and, you know, there was some fire. So it wasn't an entirely peaceful process, and this is a country that unfortunately has seriously felt the effects of this separatist movement. These are the people who feel they've been marginalized by the Francophone, the French-speaking majority.
And, Monsieur, you would think he'd had enough, but Mike Pompeo, he's gone from Ethiopia, but he seems to have his sights now down on the motherland.
Well, he spoke to the media just before leaving. And as I say, this is a safari that he would have had to look down a lot of the time and shake his head, because he'd come with very little to offer, and he was trying to counter Chinese and Russian influence in Africa. The Chinese saying, well, this man, former head of the CIA, is really just a cold warrior. He hasn't got out of that Cold War mentality. But then somebody asked him about the land reform in South Africa, and he called it a disaster if there was any expropriation without compensation, and saying it didn't work. Yeah, here in Ethiopia, which wouldn't have pleased the Ethiopians, it didn't work in Tanzania, it didn't work in Zimbabwe. No country through kind of this kind of forced socialist policy in Africa has grown prosperous. What you need is the rule of law, respect for property rights. And so he made a very, very strong statement in that effect. I wait to hear how the South African government will respond. It's not the first time that a member of the Trump administration has reacted in this way. And of course, those opposed to expropriation know that they find a very interesting or very safe support from the Trump administration.
Maybe the South African government shouldn't even respond at all. Nonetheless, that's just my opinion. Anyways, apparently, you know, Monsieur.
You know, when you say shouldn't respond at all, you're saying well, politicians aren't going to respond. I mean, you know, the problem with these guys is they were own worst enemies. I was just writing in my journal two nights ago, don't politicians know when to shut up. I was referring to F.W. de Klerk. And then I corrected myself and said, no, thank goodness they don't, because it keeps people like you and I in a job.
Yes, we've got a job. Monsieur, moving on to Lesotho, though, it seems like they've got their own Bold and the Beautiful.
Oh, they do. Their lady, their Maasai, the 42-year-old first lady, will stand trial in March, on March the 17th, for the death of her rival, Lipolelo, who was involved in a bitter divorce with 80-year-old Thomas Thabane, the Prime Minister. Now, he has agreed to step down, not because of any complicity in this crime, but because of his age, but he hasn't given a date yet. There's a lot of pressure on him in that way. But that trial with the First Lady, the rival, the ex-wife, died just weeks before he was, or very, very soon before he was sworn in. Now, it appears that the case is going to be that Maasai actually had blood on her hands herself, but she hired assassins. That is what's going to be the state's case. But it's something we all are going to read with great relish and great interest, that we will follow that trial in the Mountain Kingdom.
Monsieur, merci beaucoup for joining us for this week for the latest coming from the African continent. We look forward to chatting with you again next week. À la semaine prochaine, monsieur.
À la semaine prochaine, mon vieux.